I'd like to begin this morning in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. The subject that's on my mind it's difficult to bring it down, to rein it in. Could really go from the second chapter of Hebrews through the 10th chapter. and so there's a lot. So I pray that the Lord, no matter what I may have had on my mind or the thoughts that I've had, I pray that the Lord will bless at this time and guide me through it. And also with, I believe, with just about every subject that I can think of, you could potentially, a minister could preach on that same subject number of times and come at it from a different angle or concentrate or focus on a different part of that subject. And certainly the priesthood of Jesus Christ is one of those. There is just so much, but what a wonderful subject. Let me read one verse here, and I want to go to the Old Testament for a few minutes. The first verse of chapter 3 of Hebrews says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." So we certainly have a definition there of who that is, Jesus Christ. And the word apostle and the words high priest are both capitalized. And then we see at the end of that phrase there, it's Christ Jesus. And so he says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And so I want to consider this. And the Apostle Paul uses that in different places, that consider this. And of course, when I consider things like this, I can't help having the perspective that I do in looking back and what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross and his life and so forth. But you have to think of here, and they were this in the same perspective, but so soon thereafter and all. And it's just a completely different perspective than we have. Now, I want to go to the 59th chapter of Isaiah. But first, you can be finding that. I just want to get one. I'm going to get two verses out of Genesis, the third chapter. I'm just going to grab this and come back to Isaiah 59. To get some perspective here on this priesthood of Jesus Christ. Why do we need a priest? Why do we need a priest? Well, the Lord tells us in his word, but in the 23rd verse of the third chapter of Genesis, it says, "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, Adam, to till the ground from whence he was taken." This is after the fall, after he transgressed the law of God. So this is what happened, literally what happened to Adam and Eve. And then 24th verse, "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Adam wasn't going to go back in there. He's out. And this flaming sword, just what an image that is there. The cherubims, the flaming sword. This this shows the intensity and the seriousness of being cut off from that and what Adam did. In the 59th chapter of Isaiah, we get some more of that to contrast and to show the need for a high priest. Not the Levitical priesthood that was set up, not from that tribe, but we needed a high priest. We need him now, intercessor and mediator. But and he sacrificed. He made sacrifice. That's what priests did there in the Mosaic law, is they made sacrifices. Now, once a year, they would go into that, beyond that veil. The high priest only would go in there, that holy place, and make sacrifices. And I want to get ahead of myself just yet. We know what Christ did, is he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Much better than the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. And so in this 59th chapter of Isaiah, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So two points there. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and which it did, he did, he saved. And then neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He hears us when I need that. I need him too. And do not let Satan tempt you, test you by saying, "No, you have done such wrong." So Satan's stopped working to try to convince you, "Oh, you're better than anyone else." Now he sees, you see your sin, you've reacted to that, and so now, yes, you're so sinful, God won't even hear your prayers now. That's how sinful you are. Don't let that happen. Pray through Jesus Christ to God Almighty. Always. So, continuing the sentence here. But, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So the first verse, that sounded good. That sounded pretty good. But then you get to the rest of this sentence there in the second verse. Your iniquities are separated between you. There's the separation. And so the separation between us and God. And think of that flaming sword there, moving all over and all. We're cut off from God. That's our original state. We have to be reminded of that, because otherwise we will begin to think, as others may say, that, well, you had a little bit of good because you were able to accept the salvation that God gave you. No, this is it. This is the Word of God here. At that point, when we had some good, was after Jesus Christ took up his abode within us. Now, and it says, let me skip over to the 12th verse here. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Now, in the next couple of verses, and I'll go back to the New Testament and get in more into my subject. In the 15th verse, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. So he saw there was no intercessor. There was no one. He looked to man, and there's no one. There is no man. There's no salvation. There's no one that can reconcile that separation there between man and God. He looked, and there's no one. So he didn't look and see then when one of us was born then and started doing some good. Well, they're doing good, so yeah, I'll save them. There goes that separation there. No, he saw, and there's no one. You can go to Romans and see some of this. But that's the extent there. And so there's no intercessor. To intercede is to act between parties with a view to reconcile. To reconcile. It is to pass between. There's no one. So there's God. There's God. And then there's us that I just read the description of us. And then there's that flaming sword keeping us away from that, from God. We're separated. So there's the scene. There's the state there. Now, if you're like me, I don't remember any of that within myself. I don't remember the time that the Holy Ghost had not touched me. I don't know if it was before I was born naturally, it was after, I just don't remember and all, but I have no recollection. Everyone goes to the Apostle Paul, you know, he had recollection. He had a recollection of that. Others do. I've heard others do. But to have that true contrast within you, I don't know what that's like. But so now going back to Hebrews, but let's, if you still had chapter 3 open, it's right there in front of that. So in the latter part, last few verses of the second chapter, in the ninth verse, he says, but we see Jesus. We see Jesus. So we're talking about Jesus. You see a lot of pronouns after that point. Him, him, him. Talking about Jesus here. You like to find that and grab hold of that. So in the 17th verse, second chapter. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. That just makes me love Jesus Christ so much more than I ever could. To know that it behooved him to do that, to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. So, and we'll see some more of that in some other scriptures, Lord willing. Then it continues, the sentence, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, to intercede. So it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. And so already we see some description and some descriptive terms of his priesthood. He is a merciful and faithful high priest. There was no priest in that tribe of Levi that was as merciful and as faithful as Jesus Christ, our high priest. None of them. None of them. Even when Jesus Christ came, this mediator and this Messiah, this Redeemer, our high priest, even when he came, those high priests, many of them did not accept that, did not accept his priesthood. Well, he's not from the tribe of Levi. Christ, Jesus was not from the tribe. He's not from the right tribe. So we'll get into that. So he's merciful. Now, he came, and so it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. So he had a human nature. He was human. He had flesh, but he had no sin nature. No sin nature. He was tempted. He was tempted, tested, but he had no sin nature. But yet it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. And there's a couple of places, the next verse that I'll go to and all, where it tells that the Levitical priests did have compassion to those that came and they, for whom they were sacrificing in the temple, in the tabernacle. And they felt for them because they had like passions. They understood they were sinful men. These priests were. Christ wasn't. He was impeccable. He is impeccable. But he still knew. He knew. Remember the verse that I love to go to. Jesus was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He was sorrowful. He wept. He felt. He had sympathy. He had compassion because he understood his brethren and his friends, his sheep. So the next verse here, the 18th verse. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He's able to help and to relieve those that are tempted. That's you and me. That's you and me. He is able to. He is the high priest. And in another chapter and throughout, we see many times the word better. A better hope, a better covenant, a better priesthood. Christ is, if nothing else in all of this, we see the superiority of his priesthood. Give him the glory. Let's glorify Jesus Christ in his work as our great and merciful high priest. So he's able to succor them that are tempted. So in whatever it may be, and do not ever be convinced that there's something that you're going through that and to think, well, Jesus can't possibly understand this. He understands. He's able to. He became as his brethren. It behooved him. So that in through his priesthood and as intercessor and mediator, that's what I want to emphasize in this. In our lives, we need him to intercede on our behalf. And he does that. He does that, and constantly, and every one of us. For you, at the same time, it is for me. And everyone. It's miraculous. And then it comes back to my text there. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, I want to go over some things about. We need to describe. So we see the reason that we need and needed a high priest, that mediator. We needed a priest that could make that sacrifice once and for all. When he was crucified, that sacrifice of himself that was then accepted of God. Certainly that. And he continues to intercede on our behalf. And he is this mediator. But I want to learn more about his priesthood. So I want to bring in, I'm going to come to the end of, in fact, the last verse of the sixth chapter of Hebrews here. And I hope this all comes together. But we have another person brought in to this picture in this verse. It says, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus is who he's talking about, made and high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And I've preached years ago, don't know when, how many years it was, but I've preached on, I tried to cover this, and Melchizedek was both a priest and king. That was unheard of, because you have the tribe of Levi. That's the priesthood. Aaron, and it's called many times the Aaronic priesthood, because it's Aaron was that first high priest. Melchizedek was not from that tribe. And the only place he's mentioned in history is the 14th chapter of Genesis. That's the only place. But he was priest and king. Jesus Christ is apostle, prophet, priest, and king. But in the perfection of God's work and his will, that's covered. Because you think, well, no, Jesus had to come from the tribe of Levi. He didn't. Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. Why is that? Well, what does it matter? Who cares? Because I tell you what, if Jesus was in the line of King David, that was the tribe of Judah. If he was to be king, has to come from that tribe. Oh, but if he's the high priest, has to come from... This is all covered. He is priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And this is a mysterious person. There are many guesses on who exactly he is, even down to... and I've read many writings on this, even down to... is it Shem, the son of Noah, and so forth, and all this. But the descriptive terms, Melchizedek is a type of Christ. He's a type of Christ. All that means is a lot of he was so much like him, that his attributes and all, his priesthood was. And so Jesus Christ is the antitype of Melchizedek. And the antitype, the one who we're talking about, is always perfect. You know, when you compare the type of him. So it's, and we'll see in a moment the word similitude. Christ's priesthood was much like that of Melchizedek. He had no beginning, no end. No one knew who he was, where he was from. And I know a lot of them back then, Hashem, it seemed like he was around 600 years old when he died, and others 900 and so forth. But anyway, I don't want to get bogged down in this, but this priesthood of Melchizedek. But he, it says, and now going into the 7th chapter, this Melchizedek, king of Salem, so he's king of Salem, which is Jerusalem, king of peace, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now, everyone gave tithes to the Levites. That's what they did to support the temple and the service and all. They gave tithes to the priests and all. And so Abraham, I want to get through this really quickly, but Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So we have that really in Abraham, that tribe or family of Levi. So, but Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. And then Melchizedek blessed Abraham. It's all backwards in our minds and in the Mosaic law, is because the less is blessed of the greater. Melchizedek blessed Abraham, the patriarch of this promised family of God. So this shows this priesthood of Melchizedek, priest and king, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. And Paul goes into other descriptions here, but let me continue. Consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. You think, well, Abraham really represents, he's the father of Levi and the Levites. Malachi should have been giving him the tenth, the tithe, but he didn't. It was the other way around. It's setting up, it's pointing to the priesthood of Jesus Christ himself. Uh, And then the fifth verse, it spells this out. All you just read the entire book of Hebrews, really, and it covers it very basically. Verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. It amazes me the detail that God has gone into with this, that all this stuff. Because about the time, you know, you about wrap up one thought and somebody would jump out there. I can see one of the Levitical priests saying, oh, but wait, what about that? Oh, he covered it. He covered everything. He doesn't just say, well, no, this is fine. Just like he couldn't just say, okay, they committed sin. I'll just forgive it. I'll ignore it. No, had to have a ransom for that. Had to be redeemed from that. Had to be unseparated from that. 11th verse, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest, that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, not be called after the order of Aaron? So there's the question somewhat. He covered his own, their own question. Then, so if perfection were by that Levitical priesthood, then what need is there for another priest and not one after the order of Aaron? Priesthood being changed, necessity of change of also of the law. For he, 13th verse, for he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. So he's covering this tribe difference of the tribe of Judah and of Levi. Now, here's this word, 15th verse. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. I hope that we are thankful that there arose another priest, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He had to have done those things that he came to do. Matthew 1:21, save his people from their sin. So it sprang out of another tribe. So again, Melchizedek is the type of Jesus Christ. And 17th verse is quoting from Psalm 110. So Paul goes back to them here, to the Hebrews. He goes back to the Old Testament. And here, remember this? Y'all believe this, don't you? He goes to Psalm 110. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek was born, he lived, and he died. Jesus Christ, yes, a body was prepared him. He was born, natural birth, and so forth. And yes, he died at the crucifixion and all. He laid down his life, but he was slain by those wicked hands there. But he decided, God decided that moment there. So again, Jesus Christ is forever our high priest. For the law, 19th verse, for the law made nothing perfect. The law didn't. All it did was shine a light on their sinfulness and their sins. It showed that. And so that's what it was. It seems to me, I believe it or not, I see my sin, my sinfulness and so forth. And it's like, I don't need something every year. I need something every day, really, to show that. But I need to be reminded that we fall upon the mercy of the Lord God Almighty, upon Jesus Christ, our merciful, great, and faithful High Priest, as we live our lives, and to keep going here, knowing where our destination lies. 22nd verse, there's that word again, better. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Now here's some more of a description of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. 24th verse. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. I don't know how those priests, the Levitical priest in the temple, and before that in the tabernacle, how they would react to things. No, they were human beings. So, yeah, they felt the infirmities. They could relate to the infirmities of the people. Well, they had to sanctify themselves first before going in there and then sanctifying the altar and so forth, and then the people. Jesus Christ didn't have to do that. He didn't have to sanctify himself. But would they waver? It's like, yeah, I'll make this sacrifice for you, but you really need to shape up or something. Jesus Christ, understand, remember that verse I read where he is able to help us, to succor us. They were truly many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. From Aaron and then his sons, his two sons, and we know what happened to them. They were destroyed. But then the rest of the priests, how many men went through that office? Certainly of the high priest and the priests themselves. We have one high priest, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. There's no reason. And he has an unchangeable priesthood that continueth forever. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So ever liveth to make intercession for them. Let me jump across here in my Bible to the 6th verse of the 8th chapter. It says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. So there's that ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. It's all better. It's all better. Every bit of anything having to do with it, which was established upon better promises. Better promises. The Mosaic law, the priesthood and all, it did not live up to the priesthood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. One last verse in the 7th chapter, the 27th verse. 26, because here's some adjectives. For such an high priest became us, here you go, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's Jesus Christ, our high priest, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins. There's a scripture for what I said a couple of minutes ago. And then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. As our high priest, he offered himself once. How do we know? Well, what if it wasn't accepted? Well, he's now set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. It was accepted. It was accepted. He sacrificed himself. I know he shed the blood and God saw the blood and all, but that Jesus Christ sacrificed himself on the cross. Eighth chapter, first verse, it brings it back in here. It says, now of the things which we have spoken, all this stuff we've spoken of, this is the sum. This is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. There you go. That sacrifice of that high priest was accepted. He's there. He's there right now making intercession for us. Last Wednesday, I can't remember exact words, but I know Sister Jacqueline in her prayer, as we all prayed, mentioned some of that, how the work of Jesus Christ in interceding for us and watching over us, and we weren't just left here. Like, okay, you're saved, and until resurrection, I'm not with you. No, he's with us. This is it. This is it. No matter what we're going through. And do not, I'm going to go ahead and interject this here. Do not, maybe I've already said it. I know I have in times past. But do not get so bogged down in your the thoughts of your sinfulness. It's like, but I'm terrible. I'm a wretch and all. Yeah, I know I'm saved, but I'm sinful. And to the point to where God's not going to hear me. If he hears me, he's not going to answer me. No, he is. And if you're continuing to pray to him, you're glorifying him in that. Now let me go to the fourth chapter as I hurry along. There's so much, but forgive me. The fourth chapter of Hebrews, toward the very end of that chapter, 14th verse. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. That's where he is. It's passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. So plain. Who is it? It's Jesus, the Son of God. Seeing that we have that, then what? Then what? Let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast. Here it is. Just seeing that. Well, that's why we hear the gospel. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we sing the songs that we do. We look for the words in the poems, and we pray that we might hold fast, because he's taking care of the salvation. He's taking care of that, and he's mediating for us today, and he's interceding for us. He's between us. When we pray, we close a prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. He is our go-between. He's our intercessor there. And yet it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. That's how compassionate and close he is. When I say that he is a personal savior, it's not demeaning. It doesn't bring him down. It's the truth. But He knows you and me. He knows each of his sheep. That's how close he is. And I mean knows us. So he continues here. For we have not, cut some negatives here. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So our high priest, he's touched by our weaknesses. That's personal. And my weaknesses are different from your weaknesses. And my sins are different from yours. And he's touched by those. That ought to cut right to our heart that he's touched by those. But it behooved him to do that. So yes, he's our great high priest, the august God himself, the Son of God, but yet he comes so close to us and right when we need him, even though we don't deserve him. The only reason we have his righteousness within us, and he hears our prayers. So we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Didn't have the sin nature. He didn't have the sin nature. You start thinking, well, how would that feel? You don't have the sin nature, but you have human nature. You're tested and tempted. You can't. Well, number one, I read one description, if I can think of it just briefly, that when Jesus Christ was tempted, when he was tested, there was never any way he was going to succumb to that temptation. He's impeccable. He's sinless and all. When we are tested and tempted, the same way he was tempted just as we were, so in that same way, so many times, I'll speak for myself, I don't even fight it. I give up. So he never gave in to, or succumbed to that testing and temptation. And we may do that. Now, we continue to fight it and fight it and fight it. There it is. But our high priest is there. Our high priest is there with us, interceding for us. So then, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. So let us boldly come. That doesn't mean arrogantly or just proudly. It means freely, not being in bondage there. boldly under the, and confidence. Come to the throne of grace. Okay, why? He gives a reason. And this is what I want to hang on to, and you should, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Go to the throne of grace. What? To get, obtain mercy and grace and help in time of need. That's what an intercessor does. He gives you that. Our high priest, Jesus Christ, is able to help us. He understands our infirmities. In the fifth chapter, real quickly here, fifth chapter, first and second verses, it speaks of the Levitical priest, the men that really did that, and even the high priest that went in once a year inside the veil there. And it says, every high priest taken from among men, so the Levitical ones, is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Well, Christ did the same thing. He offered sacrifices, gifts for sins, for our sins. So then it says in the second verse, for who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? That he himself also is compassed with infirmity. That's what I was referring to. Those priests, those human beings, those men, they were also compassed with infirmity. Jesus Christ had none. He had no weaknesses. He had no sin. And yet he more perfectly, in a better way, as our high priest, is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now, I don't know if I want to get, ninth chapter. I mean, you can go home and read the ninth chapter on his priesthood. Down toward the 11th verse is where I'm looking. Well, this is some more of my point in this priesthood and certain subjects in God's Word that gives us something today. Already, I said, where do you go to obtain mercy and grace in time of need? You go to the throne of grace. So here, but Christ, in the 11th verse, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls and goats. By his own blood he entered into once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That's where I quoted a little while ago. So in the 14th verse, and then I'm going to close with one more, go to the Old Testament, as I like to do. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. So through the eternal Spirit, Jesus offered himself without spot to God. The blood of Christ. So how much more? Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So he purged. Now, and I always thought with this for years, And also when talking about water baptism, you know, to have a good conscience, that's how. How else could no one could be baptized in water because, I'm sinful. I'm still sinful. We know that. Preacher says it every Sunday. I'm sinful. I have sins. So how could I ever be baptized in water? Because it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. But we were given that in Christ Jesus, our great and merciful high priest, who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, to serve the living God. That's how we can even serve Him. Then I'm thankful that you all do, that you do that. So His priesthood, it wasn't just something that, was high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He didn't come from the Levitical tribe, from the tribe of Levi, but from Judah. But he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who also did not come. Melchizedek came long before the law. It's the 14th chapter of Genesis. And then it's mentioned in other places, but 110th Psalm, for one thing, about that and Abraham's experience with that. But God, in His perfect and infinite wisdom, He set this up. He knew already. He knew, Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to sacrifice my only begotten Son for these people. But He loved us before we loved Him. And so he did that. Now, in the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, and there's too much, and I probably showed that, and I apologize. In Isaiah 63, verse 7, this just hit me, and I wanted to leave you with this. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which He hath bestowed on them according to His mercies and according to the multitude of His loving kindnesses. That should be the theme and the thought of our prayer every time we go to God. All of His loving kindnesses. I love that is plural there. And then it continues. That's the sentence there, but let me continue. For He said, surely they are My people, children that will not lie. So He was their Savior. In all their affliction, He was afflicted. He feels that. He feels it. Our affliction, your affliction. Jesus Christ, our great and merciful high priest, feels your affliction. In all their affliction, and I know much of this speaks of the literal, I don't want to get sidetracked. And the angel of His presence saved them in His love and His pity. He redeemed them and He bare them and carried them in all, carried them all the days of old. He is with us. He is, a very present help in time of trouble. And when you think, you may think, well, okay, there's nothing. At work, I'll pass someone in the hall, and they'll say, how are you doing? And I'll say, well, I think okay. You know, it's that stuff you don't know about that I begin to worry about. And all. You think everything's going fine. I tell you what, He's a very present help even then. Because I may forget. I need to go boldly to the throne of grace that I might obtain mercy and grace, help in the time of trouble. May God bless and keep you. We will sing a song now and open doors.